s'more.
Hey, it's Ryan Stevenson, and you're listening to Weathering the Storm.
Your love surrounds me in the eye of the storm.
Today's episode features Mikey Howard of the band Seventh Time Down. Mikey shares about the journey he and his wife have been on with their youngest daughter, who was born with a brain condition. Maybe you're listening today seeking healing for a condition, for someone close to you, or for yourself. Here is a conversation that I hope will encourage you. Welcome back to another amazing episode of Weathering the Storm. My whole heart in this podcast was just really from a verse in Revelation 12, where he says, "They defeated him, or the dragon, Satan, they defeated him by the blood of the Lamb and by the power of their testimony." And I love that. It's one of my favorite verses in the Bible. And it just continuously reaffirms why I even wanted to do this in the first place, was there's so much power in our testimony. And I wanted to just encourage everybody to always share your story, always share your testimony, because there's power and there's life and there's freedom and healing for yourself and everybody around you when you share your story with people. Your vulnerability creates way more trust, not less. So don't ever be convinced otherwise. I am joined today by one of my best friends, Mikey Howard. Y'all know and love his music. You know songs like Just Say Jesus and God Is on the Move. I know you're born and raised in Kentucky, man.
Yeah, man. A Kentucky Mountain boy. Vernon, Kentucky.
The old bluegrass boy.
Come on now. Nothing wrong with that.
You are married to Vanessa. How many years have y'all been married?
Dude, we are going on 13 years.
13 years. You have three girls, three daughters.
Yep.
You're a dad. You're a husband. You're a Christian music rock icon.
Oh, gosh.
More than any of that.
My face is turning red.
All of your awards and accolades and records sold and number one big old songs you got. And you're just the sweetest guy, man. And everybody that I know who knows you, including myself, we would all just say how tender you are.
Dude, I appreciate that, man.
Thank you for doing this today.
Dude, thanks for having me. I know the pedigree on this show, it's pretty incredible. So I'd feel underqualified to be here. So it's cool. Thank you.
You know what? I want to just open it up to you. You know, life has not been easy for you.
Sure.
And you've definitely weathered some storms. You've had quite a journey.
I'm human, right? I mean, we're human.
Absolutely. I just wanted to kind of give you the floor a little bit and just kind of talk about, I guess, maybe particularly the last several years of just maybe struggles, you know, personally, internally with you and some health problems, and you know, your family. I know that's been a big thing for you, and some things you guys have had to navigate.
Sure, man.
With your kiddos, and it's been scary. It's been hard. I know a lot of people, a lot of parents out there who deal with scary situations with their kids and their family and all the things, man. It can be scary. Wanted to open that up to you, man. How you doing today? Where are you at? What are you guys up to,
man? I don't know that we can start with today. We have to rewind a little. So anyways, Vanessa and I were high school sweethearts. I was 14 years old when I was trying to get her attention. She was a senior in high school. I was a freshman. She was a captain of the cheerleading squad. And I was the biggest dork in school. I literally had a pair of Chuck Taylor sneakers that I'd worn so much that they had holes in them, and I duct taped them because I thought that was cooler than getting a new pair. You know, I wanted to duct tape my sneakers to keep the water from getting in. And she just would not have anything to do with me, you know. And so I just chased after her. I won't even say court, you know. I was just trying to get her attention. Anything, you know, just a hello. I remember her walking across the gym floor when I was in PE1 class, and I thought it'd be cool. And you know how kids will, like, they'll pop the rim.
Oh, yeah.
You know, so I liked basketball, even though I was not good enough to be on the team, I guess. But I popped the rim, and I just looked, just knowing she was gonna see it and take notice. And she did not even look my way, not even a glance, dude. So anyways, 10 years later, we got married. You know, after after
you
basically
popped the rim, and 10 years later you had her.
yeah pop the question, man. That was amazing. I mean, she was awesome. She had so much patience and grace for me, and we kind of grew up together. Sure. You know, and so anyways, she is one of the few people in life that know me like pre being in a band, because basically in high school, you know, I was already playing shows, so many shows. Like on the weekends, my dad had an old truck and like a horse trailer. It wasn't even like a proper trailer, like, you know, it had like holes in it, you know, so the horse could breathe and all that. And we would just load it up with as much gear as we could fit in it. And on the weekends, we would go play shows, you know. And as long as I was back for school on Monday and kept my grades at a decent level, my parents were like, you know, go do your ministry.
And that's like when you're in early high school.
I'm in high school.
Same band that you've had till this moment.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Now. I mean, there was same Austin, guys, right? Austin and I, the drummer in our band, we met playing T-ball.
Wow.
So, I mean, he was like 11 years old when we started playing music. So we met as little kids, you know, and then Cliff, the bass player, he moved to town in the sixth or seventh grade, and we played football together. We actually lined up against each other at practice. Cliff and I did. We'd take turns knocking each other on our butts. But yeah, I mean, you know, and there were some other, you know, small town, there's other guys, sure, that play music, and that comes and goes in the, you know, the ebbs and flows of being in bands with guys in your town. But yeah, I mean, for the most part, that's kind of been the band, you know, for as long as I can remember. So anyways, yeah, after high school, I tried college for like half a semester, and I literally made myself sick wanting to play music, you know. Like physically, I became ill wanting to leave college and go play music. And but I remember calling my parents and saying, you know, hey, I want to quit school. And I remember my mom and dad being like, well, we were waiting for you to figure out that God had something different for you. We'll come get you. And sure enough, man, they like, you know, came and got me, and a buddy of mine that I was, you know, playing music with at the time, they kind of helped me get my stuff home. And I remember sleeping in the next day and my mom coming in and like waking me up and me being like, you can't come in here. I'm like, I'm a grown man now. You can't come in my room in the morning. And my mom saying, you said you were going to start a band and get a record deal and, you know, all this stuff. Like, you need to get up and get started. Mm-hmm. And that kind of, you know, put a fire, you know, under me to like really go in just head first. So anyways, with all that being said, you know, Vanessa kind of knew me through all of this. Mm-hmm. So by the time we got married at 24 years old, I mean, the first 10 years of that marriage, I mean, I was playing music 100+ shows a year, you know, for 10 years straight. And some of those years, it was even more, yep, shows than that. And in the midst of that, you know, she's working a full-time job. She's going to night school to get her master's degrees. We have a kid. We're living in an apartment. You know, it was a crazy time.
Sure.
So anyways, with that being said, I guess the past few years for me would probably start in 2018. Mm-hmm. Because that was a moment. I just came off the biggest single of my career. It was number one for like 5 weeks or something like that. Doing the biggest shows that I'd ever done in my life, you know, arena dates with some of the biggest bands in our industry. And I was completely miserable. I'd literally gotten everything I wanted from like a career standpoint, but I was miserable. I felt like I was on the verge of like losing everything because I was miserable. My wife was miserable. We had two kids at this point. They were completely miserable.
Yeah.
I was crying when I left. They were crying when I left.
And just for the record, like you, I know this firsthand, you guys tour hard. You were gone a lot.
Yeah, we were gone a lot. And so, you know, a lot of those early years of touring, you know, it was like you were saying, I mean, it was humble beginnings,
yeah,
you know, because we were, you know, we didn't have a big song at radio yet. You know, luckily we just had a team who believed in what we were doing. You know, sitting right next to me today is our manager. You know, he every step of the way, he was sewing into what we were doing. Our record label, every step of the way, they believed in what we were doing, but nothing had really came to fruition in terms of like big song or, you know, what maybe somebody who's listening would think of like a successful music career. You know, we were literally just grinding. And, you know, at the end of 2017, going into 2018, you know, my wife and I felt like for this ministry, for this career, for this thing that I was doing, it felt like we had placed our family on some kind of altar sacrificially that the Lord never asked us to do. You know, the Lord never asked me to give up my family and marriage and all this stuff, you know. So, you know, we started going to marriage counseling. I told the guys, like, hey, we've been doing like 120, 150 shows a year. If we can't knock that, if we can't like cut 100 shows off the calendar to where we can get it down to like 40 to 60, then I quit. I'm going to find something else to do. Like I cannot do this. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's emotional for me to talk about because, you know, it was a lot, you know. And luckily, again, you know, having people in my life who loved me, you know, manager, bandmates, record company people, booking agents, all people who, you know, they, looking back, you know, it probably looked like I was a lunatic because, you know, we're on the cusp of something great. We're doing big shows, the song, and I'm going, whoa, no, you know, like I didn't agree to any of this. No, you know, and if you'd asked me at, you know, 19, if I would have been trying to pump the brakes on the cusp of something that I felt like was everything I'd ever wanted, I would have been like, there's no way. I would have pushed right on through.
Yeah.
But when you have, you know, a 6-year-old, 7-year-old, and a, you know, 3-year-old at home, and you got a wife who you love dearly that you, you know, you've been married to for 10 years, and all of a sudden, like, it's like, Lord, help me. I was reading this book, actually. My wife and I were going through it together. It was an Andy Stanley book. And he talked about making sure that you are saying yes to the things that only you can do. Hmm. And so I thought, anybody can sing the song God is on the Move, right? Like anybody could do that. The Lord could use anybody to write that song or sing that song or perform that song. But not anybody could be Vanessa's husband, right? Mm. Like we were the ones that said yes to that. And not anybody could be my kid's dad, you know? So I decided, you know, in 2018, like from here on out, I'm going to make sure I'm saying yes to the things that only I can say yes to. And that's going to unfortunately mean saying no to maybe some other things.
Of course.
But I say unfortunately, but it was a fortunate thing for me because, you know, 6-7 months into marriage counseling and actually having people around me who, and maybe it was hard at first for them to accept, but you know, who really came along and said, you know, we agree with you. We want to help you. We want to make sure that we're honoring these boundaries that you and your family are setting up for this ministry. Then all of a sudden, like things started to turn around. You know, it was like, you know, I was happy again. My wife was happy. You know, our kids were happy. Things were looking good. And we were like, well, let's have another kid. You know, because we'd always say we can't have another kid because I'm gone too much. Yeah. It just didn't make sense. Yeah, we got pregnant with our third, and I was on a tour in the fall with Rhett Walker and the guys, and yeah, Vanessa called and said, you know, she was in a panic, you know, called and said something's wrong, I'm bleeding, and yeah, we lost the baby. So yeah, man. So coming after, you know, a really rough season to a great season into this, it was like, what on earth? You know, you start thinking about every wrong thing you ever did and like, is this my fault? Yeah. And you know, what did I do to, is this punishment? Is it, you know, all this stuff. And you can tell I'm emotional. Cause God, it felt like a sucker punch that I was just not ready for, you know, it's like standing on this rug and somebody behind you just pull it out from underneath you and you're just not even expecting it, you know. That's what it felt like. I also heard, you know, in the course of going to more counseling, you know, after this, that it's like when you experience something like that, it's like getting into a long-term relationship with grief. You know, and that's really what it felt like. I mean, even to this day, I can barely talk about it, you know, without, you know, crying, because it was, gosh, it was hard, man. It was really hard. You know, I think we had two choices there. I mean, I think it was, you know, just dive back into old habits and start touring crazy and just trying to forget about it. And, you know, her dive into work and, you know, probably would have just ruined everything. Or make a choice to, like, say, no, that's not what God wants for us. Like, and really just coming together as a family unit and, like, putting each other first and really sticking to our guns on show count and, you know, all that type of stuff that was pretty hard during that time. Because, I mean, I think Vanessa and I both probably at that point was just ready to just run, you know, not necessarily away from each other, but away from the situation, you know, of being pregnant and losing a kid. And so, and it's something that, you know, we'd had friends who had miscarriages and things like that. And you go, as a human who loves the Lord and loves people and loves your friends, you know, your heart breaks for them. But when you walk through that, then it's like, it's a totally different perspective on it, you know? So anyways, when we did play shows, I started to kind of share that a little bit and, you know, see a lot of healing from a lot of people at the shows, you know, people, you know, even in the midst of me talking about that from stage, like, you know, standing up and saying, me too, you know, can you pray for me? Right in the middle of a concert, you know. And that was another reason when I realized I really like doing smaller shows, because you have those liberties to, like, just say, cool.
Yep.
Let's pray, you know, let's shut the music down for a little bit, you know, and and seeing that was some healing for me and a turning of the tides, if you will, I guess, you know, of God still being faithful in the midst of a storm, you know. You start to really, really understand how good God is in those moments, you know.
Yeah.
Fast forward a little bit, we, you know, tried again, you know, have another baby. And it wasn't that long after the miscarriage, you know, we decided to try again. And yeah, we had Junie and, oh my gosh, the Vanessa and I always prayed that she would be like full of joy and healing, you know, like she's a healer totally. Cause when she came on the scene, man, like, you know, she just brought so much healing to the family and to her sisters, man, her sisters took it so hard when we had a miscarriage, you know? So Junie was born and man, it was life-giving, you know, and a few weeks into that, you know, just in a good space, so happy, you know, I'm not touring, Vanessa was on maternity leave, everything was awesome, and, you know, we're in the baby doctor's office for a checkup, and Vanessa and I had noticed, like, maybe her head looked a little funny, you know, like it was a little odd-shaped or something, but so was mine, so no big deal, right? You know, daddy's got, you know, big head, so whatever, and, the doctor just gets this panicked look on her face because she's like feeling her head, you know, and all this. And she was like, oh, I can't say without scans, but I think your daughter has something called craniosynostosis or something like that. I had no earthly idea what she was talking about, you know. So, anyways, literally the next day we were at the UK Children's Hospital in Lexington. And they're doing an x-ray on Junie's head, which that was scary enough, you know, because she was such a little baby and they put all these things over to help hold her down, you know, and all this. And, the x-ray, we got a call the next day from the doctors there at UK. And they said, yeah, her essentially, like, I don't know if you call them sutures or whatever it is, but basically your skull is, I mean, you would know, you're former paramedic, but the skull's like apart when you're born. Well, Junie's was fused together. And so they basically had to crack it back open and with brain surgery.
Oh, gosh.
Like immediately.
So your newborn's going through brain surgery.
Yeah, that's what we're up against, you know.
Or skull surgery.
Yeah, skull surgery. Yeah, keep it in perspective with skull surgery. And, you know, so you start, like, doing all the research and, you know, they put us in with this neurosurgeon's office in Cincinnati Children's Hospital. And so it's weeks away, you know, all this kind of stuff, because, you know, they can't, I mean, it's a specialty type thing. It's not like they can just get you in overnight.
And the waiting.
Oh, my goodness.
Probably feels like an eternity. You're stressed. You're nervous. You're just heavy.
It was one of the most heavy seasons. I mean, just, and it only lasted a few weeks, you know, in terms of the waiting. It was one of those things like, you know, I don't know how true this is for everyone. And when I say it out loud, if I can be that honest, I don't even know how true it is for me, but I'll say it. There are certain things in life that's kind of easy to trust God with, right? Like my life, career, you know, a marriage, you know, it's like, yeah, cool. God needs to be in the center of that stuff. When it comes to trusting with your kids, when you're a parent, like, I don't know why that's so difficult, but I know best. I can fix it. I'll take care of it. Mm-hmm. You know, like, really, like, fully letting go of your kids. I don't know why that has been the scariest, most difficult thing in my life, personally. Yeah. I mean, would you agree as a parent? Or?
Oh, it's probably the toughest thing.
And maybe it's because I know guys like Ryan Stevenson who, like, at this point in their life, like, yeah, it's great, but I know everything that you've been through for Christ's sake, you know, for the sake of God. I know the things that you have sacrificed and given up. And to think about my kids, my daughters walking a similar path, as much as I love where you're at today, it scared the bejesus out of me. Mm-hmm. You know, it just scared me. Even my own life, you know, like the path that God had taken me down, you know, some of the, you know, the places I have been, you know, doing God's work, you know, it was just scary to think about my daughters being there. So trusting God with kids was just, that was a lesson that I did not fully learn until we were at Cincinnati Children's Hospital doing more scans on Junie's skull. So Vanessa and I had just been basically paralyzed with fear, you know. And everybody who comes alongside you in those moments, you know, I think a lot of times they want to try to help by fixing things, advice. But, you know, I think it's Job who, maybe he had some friends who were kind of punks to him when he was going through what he was going through. But I think there's one little moment in the scriptures where he's so stricken with grief that he's basically laying naked in ash. And I think maybe five or six of his friends come along and they know he's so grief stricken, they don't do anything but sit with him. Mm-hmm. And that to me is who God is. Mm. Like sometimes he just comes along at the worst times in your life and he just says, you know what, I'm going to sit with you in this. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of what I felt like he did from the moment we found out about Junie's situation up until the day we're at Cincinnati. He was just sitting with us. He was in it with us. Mm-hmm. Good or bad, no matter the outcome, my child, I'm going to be with you.
Yeah.
And I'm like, man, that's the God that I want to serve, you know. But in those moments of that happening and all, you know, waiting on, you know, bad news and brain surgery or skull surgery or whatever, maybe you don't see that. You know, maybe you're wondering where he's at. I don't know. I don't know all the answers. It feels like a blur looking back now. But I do know along the way, there were so many people who prayed for us. Mm-hmm. This is a really silly story, but I had trouble with my internet during all this. So you can imagine how frustrating that is because we're wanting to surf the web and find out more about craniosynostosis, right?
Which could possibly be the worst thing that you could
exactly. do. Exactly. Sure, sure. But that's what we want to do, right? We want to be educated. In the waiting, we're trying to figure this out. Well, the internet keeps going down. And when I say going down, I'm talking like 10 times a day, like the modem's crashing, right?
Weird.
So the guy who installed our internet put me on to this guy who was a little higher up with the company, and he lived like 40 minutes away. And we didn't know each other, but he knew of me with the band and all that kind of stuff. And I ended up knowing the church that he was involved in and all that. So anyways, he says, man, what's going on? You just sound really upset. Because this is a course of me talking to the same internet guy multiple times, right? So he's picking up that I'm frustrated about something more than just the internet going down. And I don't necessarily know that I ever had any big outbursts on him. Maybe I did. I don't know. But, you know, he finally says, "What's up?" So I go on a 20-minute, you know, rant about, you know, miscarriage, brain surgery, you know,
yeah,
all this stuff. I unload on the cable guy, right? So anyways, he commits to praying for us in Junie. And he had, like, my personal cell phone number. Fast forward, we're at Cincinnati Children's Hospital. Junie's doing her final, like, scan, you know. It was like a deeper scan, you know. And so back to, you know, fully trusting God with my kids. So we're sitting there in the office. We're waiting on the doctor to come in and give us the game plan and all that. And my wife looks at me and she goes, "You know, no matter what happens, God's got this. Like, he's got us, you know. After everything we've been through, that's one thing we know. Like, he's with us and he's got us." And we both, you know, we kind of teared up and we just committed in that moment, like, "We trust you." Mm. It's almost like I could hear it, you know. I could just hear the Lord say, "Do you trust me?" You know.
Yeah.
And so I answered him, "Yeah, I trust you with my kid." A scary moment. A split second later, the doctor walks in and he starts explaining craniosynostosis to us. He's telling us about all, he's using words like suture lines, yeah, and skulls and fusion and how they do the surgery and all this kind of stuff. And he's got his computer to where we can't see the scan, right? He's kind of looking. And I'm not kidding you. After the explanations, this sweet, amazing little doctor, I can still see him. He looked like he was about 28 years old. I even asked him, "Why do you look so young? Shouldn't you be older?" He says, "But fortunately for you, I don't know what's different today, but your daughter's skull is wide open." And I mean, I started jumping, you know, like I told him, I said, "Can I kiss you?" And he teased me. He was like, "No, do not kiss me." You know, and I believe with my whole heart, you know, that God healed my little girl.
Yeah.
And so anyways, after Vanessa and I get done celebrating that she's not going to have the surgery, because there was nothing wrong. It went from the x-rays are showing these suture lines are fused to this neuro doctor saying, "I don't know what the difference is between this x-ray and this scan, but your kid is fine. Go home. You have no business being here." So the first person I call was the cable guy. I mean, I'm so excited. But she's like, "Who are we going to call?" I'm like, "I'm going to call Josh, the cable guy.
Call the internet dude."
So I call him. And as soon as I answer, he's like, he has this joyful, it's almost like you can just hear this joyful smirk on the other line, you know. And he said, "Dude, I wanted to call you this morning." He's like, "But I just knew she was going to be okay." She's like, "I wanted to call you and tell you that this morning, but I didn't want to give you false hope just in case." He was like, "But I really felt like she was healed." And so anyways, you know, Josh and I aren't super tight from the cable company. I think I've switched providers since then because they never could figure out what was wrong with my internet. But yeah, dude, the cable guy, you know, he prayed. He helped pray me through the hardest thing I ever went through, you know. But yeah, that's kind of leads us to, you know, just having so much joy. And I got to be honest, for my family, you know, when COVID happened, it was like, you know, there's so much, it was wreaking so much havoc on the world. But we were just glad that our kids were okay. Yeah. And, you know, we were home together. And it was a tricky time, you know, because so many people were hurting and losing so much. And, you know, we had just came off what felt like a win, you know, and. You know, now Junie's, you know, running around the house. And her, the craziest thing about it all, if you look at pictures of her the week before we went to Cincinnati, her head was so lopsided, like so weird looking. And you look at a picture of her the next week and she's the roundest head of all my kids. Perfect.
Wow.
It's unbelievable.
Lucky.
Yeah, I know, man. And it leads you to tons of questions like, you know, you get moments where you feel guilty, like, "Well, why did my kid get healed?" Or "Why did this happen?" And, you know, and it does. I mean, it definitely opens up a bit of a Pandora's box in terms of God's plan for humanity. And I don't have all the answers to that. I don't pretend to understand the mind of God. I just know that in 2021, he is good, man. Mm. He is good.
Looking back on your journey, seeing where the Lord has taken you in your life from growing up in Kentucky and being a dad of three kids and being married to your high school sweetheart and being in a band for 20 plus years now and traveling the world and raising kids and the hardships that come with that and the joys that come with that and the defeats in your personal life or the battles, the wars, the struggle, like all of it that makes you you and makes you human, particularly with what we're talking about today with your kiddos. And like as a dad of three, I'm right there with you, man. Yeah. Like that's such a tough one to put your children into the hands of God and trust. And I know we're not unique in the fact that that's a tough thing for us. You know, every good parent can attest to the fact that there's nothing you won't do for your kids.
Yes.
Looking back at your journey, is there one thing you can put your finger on and say, I know this about the character and nature of Jesus through my storms and how he's, what he has shown me and taught me about himself? What's something that you can just say, I undoubtedly know this about the character and nature of Jesus and what he has revealed to me through my storms?
I know for a fact that he is working every single thing that we are walking through. He's weaving it together for our good. And I don't know how that works, man. That is a mystery. When you want to talk about the mysteries of God, that is a mystery. But even wrong turns, even mistakes, you know, and Lord knows I made some doozies. You know, he has somehow made my path straight and enriched it, you know. You know, and looking back now, you know, I'm not necessarily in a place in my career that I thought I'd be. I'm not living in Nashville, and I'm not doing some of the things that, you know, guys like you, you know, do. And it's something that when I was younger, that's what I thought, it's where I thought I'd be. But dude, I've never been happier, you know, being a, and not to say music's over, you know, working on a new record and who knows what'll happen with that. But, my perspective just shifted, man.
Amen.
My pastor, he'll ask me on Mondays a lot of times, how can I pray for you this week? And it's always just, man, that I will keep my heart fixed on the things of God.
That's right.
And I'm learning that's all that really matters.
That's it.
You know, music and career and songwriting and all, it's all great stuff, man. And it helps people with their walk. And I'm grateful for the moments that I have got to be a part of people's life. But if all that was gone tomorrow, God's still good and he's still working my path out, and he's going to make it straight and he's going to enrich it, you know? So I definitely, like, in terms of like my music career, like, I have no pressure. I put no pressure on myself anymore to deliver my version of success to the world. At this point, I've accomplished things I want to accomplish. Everything else is just, it's all a gift, man. It's, that's just the way I see it. Sitting here with you today, it's a gift, you know. I may never get to do anything like this again. It's just a gift to be here, you know. It's cool. So that's the new perspective, I guess, post all of this.
It's beautiful. Mikey Howard, everybody. 7-time down. I love you, buddy. Thank you for doing this.
Love you, man. Thanks so much.
In the eye of the storm, you remain in control.
Thanks for spending time with me today. Please subscribe to the show so you never miss a future episode. To go deeper on today's conversation, click on the show notes below. And if you want to stay connected with me, be sure to visit RyanStevensonMusic.com.
Your love surrounds me in the eye of the storm.